Book 4, Chapter 19, Among the Gergesenes. Gergese was a town of some importance on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. One of the 10 cities of the Decapolis, a region of Greek culture, it was ruled over by Herod Philip. Today its ruins and its tombs can still be seen by the side of the solitary hills that rise precipitously out of the water. It was here that Jesus stepped ashore in the early dawn that followed a momentous night. The disciples would still feel shaken and full of wonder. Could they ever forget the transformation they had seen? One moment they had looked upon the intensely human picture of their Lord asleep. The next, they gazed at a figure they did not recognize, who commanded the elements with majestic authority. Now they were about to witness a fresh unveiling of his power. Among the tombs of Gergesae, there lurked a raging madman, more terrifying in aspect than they had ever encountered. Matthew speaks of two demoniacs, Mark and Luke of only one. It would appear that the man who described himself as Legion was by far the most formidable, and therefore the one upon whom Jesus concentrated his attention, whilst, of course, healing both. For the purpose of narrative, we follow Mark and Luke and speak only of one. The composite picture presented by the evangelists is a fearful one. We see an unclothed maniac roaming the mountains and tombs, a grotesque monster who had not been bound even with chains. Bleeding from the gashes of self-imposed wounds, exceedingly fierce, he prevented anyone from venturing near him. Seeing the boat pull up to the shore and its occupants making their way towards the tombs, the demented man dashed down upon them. But suddenly, while he was some distance away, he stopped. Something in his disordered mind felt a power greater than his madness. He ran forward, only to fall at Christ's feet. Jesus immediately began the heavy task of mastering his will and overcoming his hallucinations. He commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. But it brought a frenzied outburst. "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High?" How was it possible that this poor madman could have any knowledge of the Christ? We cannot tell, but we do know that Jesus always demanded a responsive faith in those he cured. Unbelief had prevented his beneficent work in Nazareth. Is it not possible that Jesus impressed his identity upon the tortured mind and thus gave the man the opportunity of making the contributions of faith necessary to his own healing? The knowledge that he was the Son of God was only the first stage in the cure. It evoked a greater tumult in him. "I beseech thee, torment me not." Steadily Jesus persevered. Still preparing him for the moment of response, he asked, "What is thy name?" The simple question broke through his defenses. He had believed with all those of his day that if a man became demented, it was because evil demons had taken possession of him. "My name is Legion," he cried pathetically, "for we are many." He pleaded that Jesus would not send them away into the country. Then, looking across at the cliff top, the man saw a great herd of swine feeding. "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." Here was the opportunity which would give the man ground for faith. If he had visible evidence that the demons had departed from him, he would believe. Watching with pitiful intensity, he saw a sudden movement among the animals. It spread rapidly. Several rushed headlong down the slope. They were followed by the others in a mad stampede. Unable to check the gathering impetus, they plunged into the sea. The man looked at Jesus for the first time with faith in his eyes. And Jesus healed him. There is a sad sequel to this moving incident. The keepers of the swine hurried to the city to tell their story. The whole population came out towards the tombs they had deserted so long. There the people found the man, who so recently had been a raging maniac, sitting quietly at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And Mark says, they were afraid. That reaction was altogether natural. Fear can be a low form of faith. But the tragedy came when they learned what had become of their swine. They began to plead with Jesus to depart from their coasts. They did not seek his identity. They brought him no sick. They offered him no hospitality. They besought him to leave. And Luke says quite simply, he went up into the ship and returned back again. But for a brief moment the sun broke through. The collective prayer of the inhabitants was followed by a single prayer. The man who had called himself Legion prayed for discipleship. He besought Jesus that he would allow him to come back with him. Granting the prayer of the multitude, Jesus left them to their fate. Refusing the desire of the man he had healed to stay with him, he conferred upon him the obligations of a discipleship, and Luke tells us he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done for him. Some controversy has surrounded this miracle that stands so uniquely in the midst of the Galilean ministry. This can, however, be dismissed. We can turn to the simple record and learn with gratitude that the miracle itself is its own justification. He who commands the wind and the sea has the same wonderful power over the minds and hearts of men. No obstacle of mind or spirit is too great for him to transform when faith is born. The great question is not, why did the Lord permit the destruction of 2,000 swine? That question supplies its own answer. The life of the man was of more value than many swine. More than ever so, because that man was destined to be not only a disciple, but in measure an apostle also. For was he not a forerunner of the great apostle to the Gentiles, telling the men of Decapolis the great things of what Jesus had done, evoking their wonder? No, the important question is, why did the Gergesenes beseech him to depart? It is important because these lakeside inhabitants have a large posterity, descending to our day, and capable of infiltrating even into the houses of those who profess allegiance to him. The keeping of swine is no sinful occupation. The cares and responsibilities of this busy life, the sustenance of our families, the modest target our ambition sets, are all legitimate. But when Jesus makes a demand endangering them, there lies the challenge. It is then that each has to answer for himself. Do I want to see the little boat sailing back across the lake? Do I want to be left with my swine?